العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك. سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. May Allah Ta'ala bless everyone during this month of Rajab. And this is where we like to start tonight with the month of Rajab. Rajab is the fourth of the sacred months. Three of them are in succession: Dhul-Qa'da, Dhul-Hijjah, and Muharram. And the fourth, Rajab, is separated from the others by several months. We mentioned that to mention that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the believers to fast during the sacred months, and Rajab being one of the sacred months is a month where we're encouraged to fast. Say that because the proof of fasting during the sacred months, of which Rajab is one, is stronger than the proof to isolate Rajab for fasting. So this is why we mention this. And this night, which is recognized by many as the night of the Isra and Mi'raj, is a part of Rajab, and therefore it's an opportunity to fast as a part of this sacred month. But again, the evidence to isolate this night in a fast, there's nothing that comes from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's strong. There's a hadith that Imam Ghazali and others mention about Laylatul Isra being the 27th, but there's nothing and that hadith is da'if. There's nothing concerning fasting. But as we said, fasting during Rajab and during the generality of the sacred months is something that's encouraged by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rajab is one of the harbingers of Ramadan. So this is the time for us to begin to prepare for Ramadan. Abu Bakr al-Warraq al-Balkhi mentioned, he said, Shahr Ramadan, Shahr Zar. That Ramadan is the month for cultivating the crop. Wa Shahr Sha'bana, Shahr Saqyi Lizar. And the month of Sha'ban is the month to irrigate the crop. Wa Shahr Ramadan, Shahr Hasad Zar. And Ramadan is the time to harvest the crop. In other words, don't wait till Ramadan to start fasting. Don't wait till Ramadan to start praying. To an extra extent, start now during Rajab. And then try to increase a little bit during Sha'ban. And then when you reach Ramadan, you reach Ramadan with the running start. He also said, Abu Bakr al-Warraq Al-Balqi, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. He also mentioned, mathalu shahr rajab, mathalu rih, that the likeness of Rajab is like the wind. Wa mathalu sha'bana, mathalu al-ghaim, and the likeness of Sha'ban is like the clouds. Wa mathalu ramadana, mathalu al-matar. And Ramadan is like the rain. So in other words, the blessing of Ramadan begins in Rajab. So the winds start to blow. And then Sha'ban, there's an increase. Now the clouds start to form. And then in Ramadan, the rain falls. So Rajab is a preparation for Ramadan. Now concerning the issue of Isra and Mi'raj, being in the month of Rajab. This is an opinion from many different opinions. Ibn Hajar, Asqalani, and Fathul Bari, who mentioned some of the opinion that Isra and Mi'raj is in Rabiul Awwal. Some of the opinion is in Rabiul Akhir. Some of the opinion that it's in Shawwal. Some of the opinion that it's in Ramadan. And naturally, some are of the opinion that it's in Rajab. From the Malikis, Ibn Abdul Barr says that it's in Rajab. This is one of the greatest Maliki scholars, Ibn Abdul Barr. So of the opinion, it's in Rajab. And from the Shafi'is, Imam Nawawi has a very strong opinion that it's in Rajab. Rajab. The Itna'ashariya from the Shi'i reject the opinion that it's in Rajab. And they say specifically the 27th isn't the night of Isra Mi'raj, it's the night of Mab'ath when the revelation was first revealed. So there are different opinions in that regard. As we said, Imam Shafi'i, Afan Imam Nawawi from the Shafi'i is very strong opinion, it's in Rajab. Ibn Abdul Barr from the Malikis of the opinions, and it's in Rajab. So there are opinions, strong opinions, that it's in Rajab, Isra and Mi'raj. We know the verses of Isra in a chapter that bears that name, and the verses of Mi'raj and Najm, another chapter. So Isra and Mi'raj are both referred to and referenced in the Quran, but not together, in separate chapters. So we'll focus on the verses of Isra, bidhnillahi ta'ala. So in those verses, Allah ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahi r-Rahmanir Rahim, subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi min al-masjid al-haram, من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا من حوله لنريهم من آياتنا إنه هو السميع العليم. So glorified, Subhana. So Subhana means to be far distant and far elevated. So Allah Ta'ala is far removed from anything inappropriate for His majesty and His might and His honor as the creator and master and lord of all that exists. So it's tanzih wa taba'ud. So distancing. How about this? No problem. It's all good. Bismillah. Tawakkalna ala Allah. So, Allah is ba'id. Allah is far, far removed from attributes or characteristics of His creation. Allah is far removed from any injustice. Ya ibadi inni haramtu al-dhulma ala nafsi. All my servants, Allah informs us in Hadith Qudsi, I've forbidden oppression for myself. وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. So I made it forbidden amongst you, do not oppress one another. Now, an obvious question arises, especially in our day and time, when people are obsessed with themselves, that, well, if Allah doesn't oppress, why does He let tsunamis wipe out people? That's a rahmah. That's a mercy. Because through the suffering, hardship, difficulty, or possibly the martyrdom of those people, they're all going to Jannah. They're on the fast track into Jannah. So they're just cruising in. We're out there in the lanes where all the backup is, waiting our turn, looking for change. And they're just... And so
people who are asked those sort of questions forget the reality of our situation. This world isn't our end. If this was the end, you could ask that question. But the end is Jannah. The end is paradise. And so if suffering in this world is our path to paradise, there's no justice, injustice in that. Because for our suffering, we're recompensed by Allah al-Shakur. So Allah al-Shakur, man yu'ati, thawaban jazilan ala amalin qaleel. The one who gives a great reward for a little action. So anything we suffer in this world relative to eternity and paradise is very small. So if we didn't get that great reward, everything we suffer, the sticking of a thorn leads to our sins being wiped out from us. So anything we suffer is an expiation of our sins and a cleansing. So we're just asked to be patient in the face of suffering. And not to be like people who don't believe in Allah, who question Allah in the face of suffering, or they just curse who knows what because they don't even believe in God. And many more so, it just becomes a constant complaint and a constant sense of victimization. Why me? Why me? Why me? Whereas the believer says, why not me? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So Allah is far removed from any attributes, actions associated with the creation. Subhanalladhi, alladhi huwa Allah. So glorified, exalted is the one. The one is Allah. Alladhi huwa Allah. Asra bi abdihi, who has carried his servant by night. Every Isra occurs at night. So Isra is the journey at night. So this Isra is sometimes called the night journey. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Subhanalladhi Asra bi abdihi laylan. If every night journey, every Isra is at night, why mention laylan? So the commentators, Imam Fakhruddin Razi and others, mention that this is to emphasize Allah's power, that he took his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a small part of the night. Asra bi abdihi laylan, he took his prophet in a small part of the night. And it's related that when the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the house of Hani, so the dominant opinion that min al-masjid al-haram, from the sacred masjid, was directly from Mecca, but specifically from the house of his cousin Hani, bint Abi Talib. And when he left, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the door started swinging. So you know you're go out and the hinge door is swinging. When he came back, the door hadn't stopped swinging. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylan. So this is to emphasize the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're going to come back to this issue, inshallah. Asra bi abdihi, with his servant. And so this goes back to what I was just mentioning about the believer and the orientation of the believer in relationship, in his or her relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a relationship of servitude. And we are honored with servitude. Those who don't believe in Allah, they don't practice this religion, or any religion for that matter, they've been denied the opportunity of servitude. But the believer's been honored with servitude. And the fact that we're honored is associated with in this station where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken, where no human being has ever gone in this world, and honored with that station to be brought into the divine presence. He's taken there under the description of his slavehood, his servitude. Subhanallah, Esra, Allah didn't say Esra bi Nabiyihi, Esra bi Rasulihi, Esra bi Habibihi, with his beloved, his prophet, his messenger, Esra bi Abdihi. Because the actualization of our servitude before our Lord is the highest station a human being can attain to. And so the ulama, they describe this as tahqiq al-ubudiyah, actualizing our servantship to our Lord. Tahqiq al-ubudiyah. And so we're living in a time where tahqiq al-hurriyah, actualizing our freedom from our Lord. Where we determine what's haram or halal. This can't be haram because I like it. MashaAllah. That's a wonderful standard for establishing Allah. Is there like 9 billion people? We could have 9 billion rulings on one issue, potentially. Esra bi abdihi. Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. All praise is due to Allah who has revealed the scripture to his slave servant. So the final revelation to come to a human being that came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings of Almighty Allah upon him, is mentioned in the context of his servitude. Because to the extent that we actualize our servitude to Allah, then we actualize the lordship of Allah. It's an inverse relationship. As our servitude humbles us, our reverence for our Lord is elevated. And as our rejection of our servitude is elevated, our magnification of our Lord is deflated. Until for those who have no share of servitude whatsoever, atheists, there is no Allah. There is no God. Because why? There is no servitude and there's no slavehood within them. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So we could literally translate that, literally, abada, abd. I have not created the jinn nor the humans except to be my slave servants. Not to each other, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have to say this because even though the people that are tweeting out right now, they might make a big tweet controversy. But this is part of our deen. One of the reasons, well, I won't say it, you can ask me privately. Yeah. People aren't ready for it. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. So, Esra bi abdihi laylan min al masjid al haram. From Mecca, from the immediate environments of the sacred masjid, but specifically from the house of Hani bint Abi Talib. Allahumma salli wa ilal masjid al-Aqsa, to the furthest mosque. So the furthest masjid in Quds, in Jerusalem. Masjid al-Aqsa. And it's called Aqsa, furthest, because of the great, great distance between that masjid and Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. So, and then Allah says, الذي باركنا حوله. الذي باركنا حوله. So whose precincts we have blessed. Precincts meaning Bilad al-Sham or the Levant, what we call today the Levant. Palestine, Sham, Lebanon. So that whole area has been blessed. It's been blessed with natural beauty. So what's at the very heart of it? Look at Palestine to the south, Lebanon to the north, Sham to the east. At the heart of it is a mountain they call Jabal al-Sheikh. The beautiful snow-capped mountain that irrigates the entire area. And so from all of these lands, you can see Jabal al-Sheikh. Jabal al-Sheikh, because he has white hair. Snow-capped. La ilaha illallah. This land, and it's blessed because it's the land from which so many prophets emerged. May Allah preserve it, and may Allah return it to its sanctity. It's been blessed historically. So many great scholars have emerged from that area. الَّذِي بَرَقْنَا حَوْلَهُ اللَّهُمَّ صَلَّى مُحَمَّدٍ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. To show him some of our signs. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during this journey was shown signs of Allah's qudrah. And again, people weren't ready. They weren't prepared for those signs. The sign that he could go from Mecca to Jerusalem, ascend through the heavens, return in the time it would that the door didn't stop swinging. He witnessed that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was ready for that. Abu Bakr was ready for that. But a lot of the believers want, and they apostated. And we'll return to that issue in conclusion. Because the hypocrites and the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the idolaters, they were ridiculing the Muslim. Now look what he's saying. Now look what he's saying. He said he went to from here to Jerusalem, ascended to the heavens, and came back during the same night. La ilaha illallah. The Prophet, la ilaha illallah, he was ready, and he found great consolation in that. After the hardship, after the death of Abu Talib, after the death of Khadija, radiallahu anha, after the humiliation at Ta'if, after all he suffered, after the boycott, the blockade, this was a consolation for him to let him know Allah is in control and Allah will not forsake you. So he was ready. Abu Bakr was ready. If he said it, I believe it. لَقَدْ صَدَّقْتْ. He became Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, the one who testifies to the truth. Al-Siddiq, he said it, I believe it. Because he said that a more miraculous occurrence, the descent of revelation, is more miraculous than this. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. قَدْ صَدَّقْتْ. He said it, I believe it. But there were believers who weren't. They left their faith, but they came back. because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave proof. He said, there's a caravan coming. Here's the description of the caravan. And when they saw the caravan, they returned to their faith. And we don't know their names. This is how our scholars honor the sanctity of the believer, that they wouldn't associate them with apostasy and defile their names and their reputations because they returned to faith. So this is one of the lessons we can take from these occurrences. So to show them some of our signs. Now, show some of our signs. Some of the ulama raise a theological question here. And that question is, why would not what Ibrahim was shown, alayhi salam, وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُورِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And we have shown, thus have we shown Abraham, the unseen, deeper realms of the heavens and the earth. مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Whereas the Prophet, لِنُورِيَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِنُورِيَهُ مِنْ وَمِنْ لِلْتَبْعِيدِ. Min is to portion off. So some of our signs. Ibrahim was shown the unseen dominions and the deeper underlying meanings in the heavens and the earth, the malakut, almul ghayb, wal ma'ani, the unseen realm, the realm of meanings behind this physical manifestation of things, the mulk. So the ulama say, no, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he was shown was greater because he was shown something of the Jabarut. Jabarut with Abi Talib al-Makki, who were alim al-azama, yani alim al-sifati al-asma' wa-sifat al-ilahiyya. So he was shown something of the divine realm, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was brought into the divine presence. So as they say, the malakut is the deeper meaning of the mulk. The mulk, the world of manifest things. The malakut, the world of seeing unseen reality. And the meanings of those manifest things. But the Jabarut, the light from which those meanings emerge. And so the Prophet was shown something greater than what Ibrahim was shown, because what he was shown was directly associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas what Ibrahim was shown was directly associated with the creation of Allah ta'ala. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد إنه سميع البصير. Verily he is the hearing, the seeing. So one of the commentators said, السميع بأقوال محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, one who hears the speech and the words of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And so, this is of significance to us. We mentioned this morning, in fact, to a group of students, that our following of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَاتِّبَاعُنَا لِسَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alaihi wasallam قَوْلًا وَفِعْلًا وَحَالًا. We follow him in his speech. So we try to adorn ourselves with prophetic speech. We don't talk like everyone out there. We don't talk like people in the street, unless we're talking to them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would speak to people at their level. The Arabi came and addressed them one way, he responded accordingly. The Himyari came from a tribe of Himyar. who use Alif Mim as opposed to Alif Lam. They don't say Al Kitab, they say Am Kitab. So one of them asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hal min birrim siyamin fim safar? Is it righteousness to fast while you're traveling? Hal min birham min al bir? Hal min bir? As siyam am siyam? Fis safar fim safar? فأجابه صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس من برم سيام فم سفر. It's not righteousness that you fast while you're traveling. So he knew all of the tongues. But in our speech with each other and in our speech with our family members, we try to elevate each other by emulating the dignified, prophetically defined, divinely oriented speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So not just his actions, but his speech. And we should cringe. We hear a Muslim just profanity. Well, everyone uses these words. They're not profane anymore. That's what you think. They're not profane anymore because our standards have been lowered so low by shaitan. When television, some of you are old enough to remember when television first came out. I'm not going to point to anybody. You know who you are. If someone said a four-letter word, people would go and protest at the television station. When a woman wore slacks, people were protesting. I think it was Mary Tyler Moore, the first female to wear pants on television. People were protesting. They're up then gradually, not just slacks. The slacks got shorter and shorter. And the language got more foul and more foul and more foul. Until now, television, you know, it's anything goes. Anything, literally. But it didn't start out that way. The bar was lowered, the bar was lowered, the bar was lowered, the bar was lowered, the bar was lowered. And we all got used to jumping over the low bar. But as Muslims, we should keep the bar high. And just make sure our legs are strong so we can jump over it. We strengthen our legs with our salah and our zakah and our prayer and our night prayer and our Quran, our rod, adhkar. So we jump over the high bar and don't lower the bar and then be proud of our weak legs. Look, I can high jump 6 inches. Mashallah. You should try out for the Olympics. No, I can high jump 6'5", 6'6". MashaAllah. You must have some strong legs. Islam wants us to have strong legs, not a low bar. So don't lower the bar. Strengthen your legs. So qawlan wa fi'lan wa halan. We should try to begin to approximate the prophetic states. We should begin. My sister, alhamdulillah, it's great. Sister, you have a PhD. That's wonderful. That's not haram. It's not blameworthy. But some sisters should be striving to be like Rabia or Nafisa. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. You know, should be striving for the spiritual heights as much as our sisters strive for the professional heights. Again, nothing wrong with that. Sisters, don't get mad at me. I'm not trying to insinuate anything. I'm just saying. We should it, right? Spiritual heights. Arifatul Khair. It was Arifatul Khair. She was a woman in Andalusia who memorized the Ashur Qira'at and taught them in her house behind a veil. At one time, there were 5,000 women in Andalusia at one time that had memorized Sahih Bukhari. And that's when Andalusia was strong. So we should have brothers and sisters trying to memorize al-Bukhari, al-Siha Sitta. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. My wife's teacher in Damascus, this sister memorized Siha Sitta, Quran, had a degree from Abi Nur and Jamit Dimashq and Mahad al-Fat. MashaAllah. Too old for you. His eyes are lighting up. Oh, really? Could I meet her? But Allahu Akbar, striving in their deen. La ilaha illallah. So to show him some of our signs, where he is, the hearing, the seeing. So we mentioned, and then he said, okay, Samir. السميع بأقوال محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم البصير بأفعاله خالصة عن شوائب الرياء مقرونة بالصدق والصفاء. And he sees his actions صلى الله عليه وسلم purified from any corrupting dissimulation, showing off, and joined with honesty and purity. مَقْرُونَةً بِالصَّدْقِ وَالصَّفَاءِ. So we should be striving to be people of honesty. إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. So honesty leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to Jannah. وَالصَّفَاءِ. We should strive, we should be striving to be people of purity, which means the impurities of the world that we bring into our heart via our eyes. Things like pornography and all this thing, via our ears, corrupting music. When I came back from Syria, this was like the early 2000s. I was like, almost went crazy. Unfortunately, I took it out on some people. But most of the young people in the masjid, they listen to 50 Cent. Like, what 50 Cent? These are Muslim kids. And so a lot of you listen to 50 Cent, so you know what he was saying. Don't pretend otherwise. I'm like, these are Muslim kids listening to this stuff. I was going crazy. Because when I left, there was no 50 Cent. There wasn't even a dime. There wasn't 10 Cent. And like within 6 or 7 years, went from no dime to 50 Cent. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No, think about it. Where's the safat? Where's the purity? When that's what's coming into our hearts. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So some fawaid. We took a different approach of going through the hadith, and the Prophet saw this and the Prophet saw that. You all know that. Not, I think we did that last time. You could look it up online. But what are some fawaid we can take from this? Number one, the Mi'raj is one the foundational event in the seerah for Muslim spirituality. Because this is the event where the Prophet was brought into the divine presence, the Hadrat al-Ilahiyya. And the aspiration of every spiritual seeker is to enter into the divine presence. And so we know it's possible because it was attained by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. And the Prophet ﷺ is the most excellent example for us. One of the things that did happen during the Mi'raj, the Ascension, the prayers were made obligatory. 5 prayers, originally 50, but Allah is merciful. Imagine 50 prayers, like Fajr, then post-Fajr, and then post-Fajr, Fajr, and pre-Duha, post-Duha. And they're all obligatory. He gave us 5 and then gave the multiplied each by 10, and we get the reward of the 50, but we only do the 5. الحسنات بعشر أمثالها. But the greater point here is there's a saying. Some says hadith, but the ulama question that. But it's a saying that has circulated amongst the ulama, and so we give weight to it because they don't speak just idly. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. That the salah is the mi'raj of the believer. The salah is the ascension of the believer. In other words, there is no spiritual elevation for a believer without salah. So people, they don't pray, and they're sitting around, they're smoking hashish, and they're reading Ibn Arabi in English translation, and Rumi. There's no spirit. That's just entertainment. That's spiritual tourism. Well, a tourist, right, you go somewhere, and then you come home. You don't stay. So you're just getting these feelings, and then you go back to whatever you're doing. You don't stay. The journey is based on salah. Salatu mi'rajul mu'min. And without that foundation, nothing else is of any benefit. Without that foundation of the salah, nothing else is of benefit in terms of spiritual ascension. So this is one benefit that we take. And so, as we said, probably the most significant legislative event of that ascension is the legislation of the 5 daily prayers. The second that is that the qudra, or the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't limited and confined to what we consider to be intelligible. So the power of Allah transcends human reason. And there are things, when they got the satellite photographs of Saturn, they saw some of the rings were braided. They have no explanation. Physicists can't explain it. There are inexplicable things in this creation physically. They're physically inexplicable. And so at a deeper level, there are realities that transcend our human reason, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fa'allu lima yurid, does what He desires. And we can't do what we desire. Some people think they can, but they'll come to know. So so Allah's ability to take His Prophet on this journey isn't deemed impossible because rationally we can't comprehend it. How could that happen like that? إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When Allah desires something, He but says, be, and it is. كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Be and it is. And so it's not confined to what we consider to be rational and reasonable. Now, there are rational proofs in our religion, but ultimately there are realities that transcend our intellect. And this event was one of them, and this event affirms it. The third is that the spiritual elevation built on the salah, that's what we undertake. But ultimately, the gift of reaching our destination is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan. He took his slave servant on this journey by night. من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا من حوله باركنا حوله حوله من حولي حول باركنا حوله باركنا حوله. We took our servant on this journey. We blessed these precincts. We showed him some of our signs. لنريه من آياتنا. So this is all from Allah. It's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we do is necessary, but it is not, you guys are supposed to say, sufficient. The salah is necessary. The dhikr is necessary. The suhbah, keeping company of righteous people, is necessary. Controlling what we see, what we hear, our tongues, is necessary, but sufficiency is provided by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet, so why does Fakhruddin al-Razi mention Allah hears his speech and the excellent speech, and Allah knows his pure and sincere actions, so he rewarded him with this gift of ascension. And so we strive to purify ourselves, and we strive to be honest, and we strive to be sincere, and we pray Allah rewards us with the gift of ascension. But we have to do the work. But the work is not sufficient. It's necessary, but not sufficient. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. So that's what we do. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. Those who struggle and strive for our sake, who guides to the path? لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُ سُبُلَنَا. We will guide them to our paths, the paths leading to us. And so the striving is necessary, but the sufficiency in terms of the hidayah is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which linguistically makes sense, because hidayah and hadiyah, the guidance and the gift, are from the same root. MashaAllah. I understand there's a couple people that took shahada. Can the shahada folks raise your hand, the new Muslims? Where you at, new Muslim? Assalamu alaikum, my brother. Hey, I know the feeling, man. I converted also. You right. You made the right move. This religion is amazing. I'm telling you, it never ceases to amaze. But it's a marathon too. It's not a sprint. It's like 10 seconds. It's over. It's like a long, and you every single foot of the 26 miles is amazing. Allahu Akbar. So. It's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fourth fa'ida, benefit, Philistine is a blessed land. Masjid al-Aqsa in Philistine is a blessed land. And Allah is going to protect that land from those who, through their greed, through their arrogance, through their enmity, are defiling that land. Allah is going to bless that land. Allah has already blessed it. And Allah is going to purify it of all defilement. Just as He blessed الَّذِي بَرَكْنَا حَوْلَ, whose precincts we have blessed. La ilaha illallah. And we mentioned the murtad. The ulama, al kullu al-muslimi al-muslimi haram damuhu wa maluhu irdu. Every believer has a sanctity associated with himself or herself, In other words, an inviolable nature that cannot be transgressed against, their life, their property, their honor. And so to protect the honor of those people who apostated, when they returned back to Islam, the ulama didn't mention their names. So their honor wouldn't be lessened by even a temporary association with disbelief. So that's a very serious lesson for us, because we jump to defile the honor of believers. I saw there must be a website out there, like MuslimDefilement.com. Find a Muslim, defile their honor. It's easy to do online. You know, just let your fingers get loose in the anonymity of your closet, in your closet with your laptop, just going for it. You know, every chat room, they give you 2 dirhams about why this or that person who gave their life trying to serve this community is a scoundrel. Just, yeah. La ilaha illallah. So those are some benefits. We'll stop here. What time is it? 15 minutes. Okay, so we have some discussion, question and answers. But we just pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to realize the magnitude of these events that we commemorate. That these are major, there's a physical history. So a secular historian only considers a historical event as something that can be substantiated by physical artifacts, something written down. So they look for carvings and bowls and things they can examine, physical artifacts. So look for the ruins of the city. They talk about this ancient city, so they go and dig and they look for the ruins of the city so they can verify indeed this happened. But there's also a spiritual history for humanity. And that's the journey of the human spirit through time once it's created. And these are milestones in our spiritual history. يَوْمُ الْأَلَسْتُ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى. Am I not your Lord? When the spirits were extracted from the loin of Adam in the pre-temporal realm. So before chronology became relevant in creation, and they are asked, am I not your Lord? And they testify, certainly, so that no one on the day of judgment could plead ignorance. These are spiritual milestones. The creation of Adam and Hawa, Adam and Eve, and the journey of their progeny from there, and then the advent of the prophets, the emergence of Musa alayhi salam, Noah alayhi salam, and the flood, and the emergence of the Bani Israel from Egypt, and the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the miraj, the night journey, the hijra that occurred shortly thereafter. These are all spiritual milestones. And our being here is part of that spiritual history, because there's a deeper meaning. It's not just we are physical beings in this physical place called America, doing physical things, like going to work and punching the clock and making whatever we make and hitting the keyboard. Those are physical events. But there's a spiritual reality associated with us being here. And in that sense, this masjid could, well, there's some closer to the Pacific Ocean, Masjid al-Aqsa, the furthest mosque, that in the furthest part, California, this is it. Once you get to Hawaii, you face west for Qibla. This is the furthest point we're facing east, because South America, all of it is east of us. Chile and Peru and the whole west coast of South America is east of us. So we're the last community that's facing east for Qibla. Northeast, whatever east, but east. Southeast, you could choose your east. But this is the last community. You get to Hawaii, New Zealand, Australia, they're all Fiji, they face west. So we're the furthest. There's a spiritual significance in that. That as far west as you could go, there are major Muslim communities now. That's not in vain or in jest. So any questions, comments, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban, bismillah, tawakkal ala Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Yes, sir.
Explain what?
Both of the Nur, the lights are the same. It was one light, not two. Yeah, I know. It was one, not two. Huh? Allah. Red what? Only in the sense the Prophet reflected it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only in the sense the Prophet, that's what we say, tala al bedru alayna. The bedr is the most perfect reflection of the light of the sun. But the moon has no light in and of itself. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most perfect human reflection of the light of Allah. He has his own nur, but in that station, he's the light of Allah is reflected in the most perfect form that a human being could reflect it. So in that sense, the light is the same. It's all the light of Allah directly and reflected. Wallahu alam. Allah knows best. Yes, sir. He gave him a raise too. Salatu mi'rajul mu'min. So prayer is the ascension of the believer. And we said there's no spiritual progress without the prayer. So yeah, amongst other things, he also linuriyahu min ayatina, to show him of our signs and to show him his power, to let him know that you're not helpless at the mercy of these people that have forcing you out of your home, blockaded you in this valley outside of Mecca, led to the death of some of your most beloved companions, you were stoned at Taif, the tribes you're appealing to turned you away. Despite all of that, I am the all-powerful, and I got your back. And so it was to assure him. And in the context of that, the prayer was emphasized for sure. But to let him know that, listen, this is, you see this? This is what's going to happen to those people rejecting you. See these people suffering over there and over there and over there. So it was to console the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after all the losses, hardships, struggle that he had experienced, that everything's going to be all right. Yes. There's nothing directly related from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so, as I said, it's a night, and it's a night in the sacred month of Rajab. And so the things one should ordinarily do, but probably maybe does not do, to take extra attention to do them on this night. But there's nothing specific. Also, for example, Salatul Ragaib, between Maghrib and Isha on the first Jummah of Rajab. Imam Nawawi and many others considered that to be one of the most reprehensible bid'ahs that a believer could engage in. So a lot of things that are associated, do this, do that, they have no origin in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as a night, and we're supposed to do tahajjud, and we're supposed to read Quran at night, and we're supposed, so all the things we're encouraged to do anyway, it's good to like make sure we do those things, inshallah. So it's time to pray. The last time I was late for Isha, I almost got beat up. Yes. Everyone, can you just wait 10 seconds so we can make a prayer, inshallah. We could discuss that privately. Bismillah ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima alamtana wa zidna ilman wa amman mutqabla. خالصا لوجهك الكريم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلاما على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين الفاتحة